Colossians chapter 1, and I'll start reading in verse 1 and read to the end, and then I'll jump back to the first verse and just start going through verse by verse to try to give explanation where needed. But I'll give you all a minute to page there. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew or understood the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, the things we see and the things we do not see, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and by Jesus all things consist or hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from those who are dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that he might be the highest. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all his fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or stewardship of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. So jumping back into verse 1. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Can somebody tell me, what is an apostle? What would be your definition of an apostle? Just anybody, either side. One who is sent. Very good. Yes, one who is sent. Yeah, and the idea is it's an emissary or a representative sent on behalf of another. So in this case, Jesus is our king, and he has appointed Paul to declare his testimony to the nations. So Paul, one sent on behalf of Jesus, and it was not by his own choice, not by his will, but by the will of God. And Paul is writing this letter with Timothy. So Timothy, his name means esteemer of God or God honor. Timothy, he knew the sacred writings from childhood. Paul, he found Timothy in a town called Lystra, which is in south central modern day Turkey. And the people in Turkey, we read in Acts, worshiped gods like Zeus and Hermes. But Timothy and his mother and grandmother did not. They worshiped the one true God. So it's this Timothy that Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians from. And he's writing it to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ, which are at Colossae, verse 2. The word saints is agioi, and it's an interesting word. So, agioi, so that's, you could divide it up into two words, a and gioi. Now, I mean, I know like the Blue Letter Bible and some, they'll say it's a little bit different, but I think it's interesting, the Greek word for land is a word called geis. Or earth. So you could say ones who are not of the earth, or ones who are not of the earth, but I'd open for somebody to challenge that. But as I understand it, those who are not of the earth, those who are set apart from the earth, the saints, and faithful brothers in Christ, which are at Colossae. And then he says, grace unto you. So I just open it up. Who can tell me, what is the first mention of the word grace in all of the scripture that you can recall? Who is the first person to find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Yes, Noah, grace. And that word grace is interesting. So I wrote this at the beginning. So this is a Hebrew word. It's read right to left. And this is in the ancient Hebrew script. Modern Hebrew would be written something like this. But the word for grace in Hebrew is chen. And this first character is the picture of a nomadic tent wall.
And the second picture is a picture of a seed. So in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, the concept was continuing the tent wall. So, or you might say, preserving your life. In other words, preserving your seed after you. So Noah, he found this, Cain, grace in the eyes of God, where the Lord was about to destroy the whole world. Noah found grace. He found his life was preserved. His family's lives were preserved by God. So I was just thinking of that. Grace be unto you. That word Noah found and many have found. Grace be unto you and peace. Shalom in Hebrew. Wholeness, being restored. Shalom unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, he has given us grace in Christ by delivering us from the wrath to come. And he has also restored and made us whole and bringing us into right relationship with him through his Son. So, yeah, grace and peace. Shalom, grace and wholeness. So anyway, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Yeah, so just praying always for you, since we heard of your faithfulness, I would say, faithfulness in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have for all the saints, because of, or for, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So yeah, they were making many prayers for the Colossians, since they heard from Epaphras, we find out, Epaphras, in verse 8, he actually made known to Paul their love and their faithfulness. So this is how Paul came to know this. He made known to them the love in the Spirit, their faithfulness. So they were making many prayers on their behalf. And, you know, just thinking, why do they love the saints? Why are they loving anybody? It's because of the hope that is laid up for them in heaven. We think of what John says in his gospel. We love because he first loved us. And that word hope, it's interesting. It's actually, the Hebrew concept is a tightly, firmly banded cord. Or you think of like a tight rope. That's the idea of hope. Sometimes in the scripture, the word for hope is actually translated yarn. But the idea, though, it's stable, reliable. It cannot be broken easily. It's firm. In other words, that's what hope is. We have that in God. It's unshakable. Thinking about that. And and this is what they heard before in the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit. So yeah, just thinking the gospel that produces fruit. Think of Matthew, where Christ speaks of in the parable of the mustard seed. It's a small seed when it's sown, but it becomes a large plant after a time, and all the birds of the heavens find their rest under it. And the birds of the heavens is a figure of the nations, that those who hear this gospel, when we speak the truth of the gospel, it will produce fruit. It will grow and produce fruit among all the nations. So this was the case with the Colossians, ever since they heard and understood the grace of God as it really is. And they learned of this true grace of God from Epaphras, who I believe was their shepherd. So Paul, as I understand it, I was talking with Brother Dwight. I don't think he had a chance to actually go to Colossae. But he actually found out about their faithfulness through Epaphras. So yeah, it was all through word of mouth, and he was rejoicing over that with Timothy. But yeah, this is why Paul and Timothy didn't stop praying for the Colossians, verses 8 through 10. They desired the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of God's will so as to walk in a manner worthy of God and to live lives that are pleasing to him. So from that, you know, what is the knowledge of God? What is faithfulness? What is love? Well, I think of Hosea 4, verse 1 and 2. So he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed." So to get a picture of what faithfulness and love are, this kind of gives a stark contrast of what it is not. So faithfulness and love and knowledge of God are evidenced by speaking the truth, protecting the life of our neighbor, honoring the marriage bed, keeping the commandments of the Lord intact by our conduct and our speech. That is faithfulness. That is love. That is the knowledge of God. It's not some pie in the sky thing in your head. It's proven by what we do. So may we keep ourselves from all those things. Yeah, just thinking too, jumping into verse 15, Jesus is the image of the unseen God. Christ said in John 14, 9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And John says in chapter 1, "No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So what does this mean? This means that every time God has been seen, it was not the Father, but the Son who was seen. It is the Son who walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. It is the Son who appeared to Abraham before he rained fire from the Father out of heaven. It is the Son who spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. This was before he was born. It is the Son who appeared in a vision on the throne to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where he saw the Lord seated high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It is the Son of God who was born into the world through the Virgin Mary. It is the Son of God who truly died. It is he who was raised from the dead. It's he who now sits in flesh at the right hand of the Father. It's he who will come again, and all of his enemies will be a footstool under his feet. Amen. Everything that was ever made was made by Jesus and for Jesus. Things in heaven, things on earth, verse 16. Things we see, things we don't see. Nations, kingdoms, authorities, they're raised up and brought low by his word. Each of us here tonight exists today because of Jesus, and we exist for him. Everything that has ever been made exists for him. It's all about Jesus. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. Jesus is before all things, verse 17. Everything is held together in him, glued together. Job says in Job chapter 2, verse 10, "In his hand is the breath of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." Job 34, 14 through 15, Elihu speaking, he says, "If he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to the dust." So this Jesus holds everything together. He holds the ground beneath our feet together. And then verse 18 and 19, "Jesus is the head of those who are called out, the church. He is the beginning, the Alpha, the Aleph," the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. "He's the first. He is the firstborn of those who are dead. He is the most high in all things." Jesus is the most high God, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. "All of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. Whoever sees him sees the Father. He is the true God and eternal life," as John says in 1 John. And this God is the one, verse 20, who made us whole and restored us through his death on the cross. Whether we're rich or poor, slave or free, low or high, all nations, all peoples, regardless of our status in life, he is reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Verse 21 through 23, Jesus reconciled the Colossians who were enemies in their minds toward God through their wicked deeds. Through Jesus, those of us who were enemies of God in our minds and did wicked deeds will be presented before the Lord on the final day, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if we continue in the faith, settled and not shifting from the strong, reliable, unshakable testimony presented in the gospel of God. Verse 24, Paul was to be shown how much he must suffer for the sake of Christ, as Christ told him according to Luke's testimony in Acts. He said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my sake. Paul understood he had more suffering to do for the sake of Christ's church. It isn't that Christ's sacrifice was insufficient, but it was that Paul had more suffering to experience for Christ. And then ending in verses 25 through 28, Paul was made a minister of God's church. He was entrusted with an economy. The Greek word, that word dispensation, it comes from the Greek word that we get the English word economy, but it's oikonomos. Nomos. So there are two words in this. The first word, oiko, is the Greek word for house. And the second letter is nomos, which means law. That's where we get the word economy from. So Paul, that word dispensation is oikonomos. He was given a management of a household. In other words, the management of God's household. The idea is that he was entrusted to manage the household of God, to fulfill God's words. And then he says the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is this. This is the mystery. Christ dwelling in us. This is our hope. This is our strong, reliable, unshakable confidence we have of glory with God. Christ dwelling inside of us. This Jesus, Paul proclaims and warns every person so that we would be whole and complete for the day of Christ's appearing. And Paul, he ends in saying, he was laboring with all of the energy that Jesus powerfully worked inside him. So Christ was in Paul, and that was his hope of glory too. But yeah, this is just an introduction. Colossians 1. Yeah, with these thoughts, I'll just close it. Thank you all. Appreciate it.